With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, everybody. This is Ryan from the Darkness Collective. So Christoph from the Eastern Border decided that it would be a cool idea for a couple of us from the Collective to get together and do an impromptu holiday episode in the form of a quiz show. Now, there's a few things to note before you listen to it. First, while there isn't any crude language in this episode, there is crude humor and a few innuendos, so I wouldn't exactly suggest it for small children. Secondly, with this being an impromptu episode, we had a couple of preparation issues. The main one that you'll notice is that during the first few minutes, you can hear dishes being done in the background. We tried to mitigate this, but since it's all in one Skype recording, we had to just kind of deal with it. It only lasts a couple minutes, but afterwards, it's going to be smooth sailing for the rest of the episode. So with that being said, we hope you enjoy this episode, and happy holidays to all.
Hello, 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 and welcome to this parody of QI show. Dark Myths QI welcomes you in the wonderful place where the fragrance from your mango grows makes me wild with joy, which is an actual quote from Bangladesh National Anthem. In today's episode, which is surprising and interesting, I, Christoph Andresons, will be joined by our four most intelligent, most diligent, and responsible members of the Dark Myths Collective, aka those who showed up. First and foremost, we have our supreme grand leader, Jordan Harbour, here.
I'm here. Where's the applause? Okay.
We love Jordan. Then we have Scott Philbrook from Astonishing Legends.
Hello.
His special task is to try to hum his own theme song.
No, I can't do that right now. There's too many glasses of wine.
It's fine. This is how this show is gonna go, ladies and gentlemen. Then we have one of the Davids from Blurry Photos.
It's me, the David.
The ultimate David.
The ultimate David. I have devoured the other David, and I have gained his power.
And of course, we have Ryan from Rumor Flies. Greetings, comrade.
I love how that was the best introduction for me. That's it. Hey, guys.
Nobody likes you, Ryan. You're the best.
I've accepted it at this point.
I'm sorry, we shared this very specific Louisiana style of things. For those of you who don't know, QI is a British television show which we are using under fair use agreement, I suppose, because this is a parody.
There's no British people here, it doesn't matter.
Some British people might listen to this, it's going to be great. So I'm going to ask you some questions, and then we're going to figure out what's going on, where and how, and you have to be interesting on this. So, I will now start, for example, you know, with something very common and cool so that you get the hint of everything. For example, you might not have official languages in the USA, I don't know about Canada, but we in Europe, well, we do have these. Sometimes multiple even, and sometimes weird things happen with them. So, can any one of you tell me what happened with Italian language in 2007?
No, I've got nothing.
Make a joke. It became the official language of a certain country. Which country was that?
Oh, man. I'm terrible with history.
Greece. Any
ideas? Italy?
Wow, Greece. Scott. Scott gets 3 points. Because, indeed, previously, before 2007, Italian wasn't the official language of it. Because most of Italy does not speak Tuscan. Specifically.
You say Etruscan?
Okay. Now wait, now hold on here. I thought that we got points deducted for being right.
Well, oh, that's fine. I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that.
So this is the starting one.
Well, it doesn't matter which direction you go, plus or minus, as long as you have points. Negative is fine too, I guess.
Yeah, negative is completely fine. And shame that Clara Testone isn't here, but you know, we are Dark Myths, and we have all sorts of weird things going on our show.
Yeah, everyone wants to hear Dark Myth Boys Night.
Nice. Whatever. Anyway, I'll start with this very interesting fact that you'll have to actually think for a bit. So everyone knows Rudolph the reindeer here, okay? That myth is popular there in America, as far as I've learned.
You missed a qualifier, but yes, we know him.
Okay, that's great.
Well done.
I don't even know. Basically, Rudolph the reindeer can fly and do all sorts of things that normal reindeer can't do. Yet, and this is an interesting thing, what Rudolph and quite possibly all the other Santa's reindeer can't do, but ordinary reindeer can.
Ooh.
Die in mass.
No, that one's actually pretty good.
That actually happened.
Yeah, it did. Okay, let me think about this one.
This is very specific. This is very specific to Rudolph.
Unionize.
Well, close, but no cookie. I'll give you a hint. Rudolph might not be as he seems to be.
Shapeshift?
Oh no! You see,
Skinwalker.
Oh yeah.
Well, sorry.
It's a bit worse. See, Rudolph and all the other reindeers are male, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then they are all eunuchs.
Are you saying that?
Oh.
Wait, what? Are you saying that reindeer can't reproduce?
Of the 40 different species of deer in the world, only in reindeer, females have antlers, not males. Females cause their antlers in spring, growing them back in time for winter, when they need their antlers to compete with other females over holes they dig in the snow to reach their food. So male reindeer just drop their antlers during winter. And the only way, but this process doesn't happen if the reindeer has been castrated. Therefore, Rudolph is either female or has no balls. And, you know, as they're all male, then, you know, they're all castrated because Santa's a bit of a dick.
Well, you know.
Rudolph the castrated reindeer had a very high voice. Sorry.
Jesus. Fair enough. Oh, boy.
Well, that's why they're so angry, all those deer. All those reindeer in the cartoon.
Well, what was it? I think there was a Krampus poem that was involving the other side of it with all the very angry reindeer where he had the sleigh and everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but...
Yep.
This is where it goes. And while we're talking about winters and stuff, does anyone of you know when did the last ice age end?
I don't know the last time I've seen ice in Louisiana, so just skip me on this one.
Oh okay, man, wasn't it like Ice Age 5 or something? When did John Leguizamo, is John Leguizamo still doing it?
14,000 years ago.
Ooh, Ryan loses 10 points!
Well, at least I gave an answer that wasn't involving John Leguizamo.
I know, and I'm waiting for my Google to come up here, so...
No Googling allowed!
Interglacial period. So we're still in an ice age.
Jordan, your first episode of Twilight History is involved in Ice Age. I feel like you should have this one immediately.
But Jordan did get it completely correct. We're still living in an ice age.
I did minus 5 points.
No.
We
Jordan
are?
Gets points. See, the thing is, Ice Age is what we refer to as Ice Age is just a glacial period. And right now we're living, as Jordan said, in an interglacial period. See, to geography people, Ice Age just means a period on planet Earth where there is ice anywhere, on poles constantly, or anywhere, really. Because we have had periods who just don't have it.
We had periods where it was just not Arctic, it was just land.
Yep.
Okay, that's interesting.
So that's and this one is specifically for Ryan. This is one specifically for Ryan. So how much percent of our brain do we actually use at any given moment for thinking?
Oh man.
10.
No, that one is very wrong.
-10 points for whoever said 10.
That was me. Astonishing Legends. That was Scott. I'm gonna cop to it because that's how I am.
So it's really hard to gauge that from any given time because you can have sleeping versus waking brain, but it's not 10%. It would generally be anywhere from 90% to 100. There's no
minus 10 points, Ryan.
All right, you're gonna need to give me a source soon.
It's actually 3.
He's making it all up.
No, because apparently, and I picked this specifically for Ryan because, see, the thing is, we use at any given moment for thinking. You see, for starters, neurons make up less than 10% of your brain. Neurons is what you use for thinking. And secondly, Peter Lenny of the New York University Center for Neural Science has recently published a paper stating that the optimal performance for brain neurons firing is to have no more than 3% firing at any one time. And that's like instantaneously. Otherwise, the energy that's required to reset each neuron after it fires is too much for the brain to handle, and it kind of loses efficiency there. So basically, if we would use our 100% of our brain all the time due to how it consumes energy, we would basically pop out. It wouldn't function. We would just burn out instantly.
Okay, is anyone in the positives of points right now?
No one cares.
I didn't even get any points for my interglacial period.
You did. You did. It's just no, that it I don't. Good. I don't even know. Alice counts the points. They are so arbitrary that I don't even know how much points you have, guys.
Kristaps, please send me that article. I'd really love to read it. That's awesome.
I will.
Yeah, I feel. Like by the way, something on Skeptic's Guide to the Universe about you know us actually using all of our brain.
We use all of our brain for various reasons, but for thinking specifically, which I mentioned, at any given moment in time.
I guess I wasn't even exercising that 3%.
So, okay, something really easy for you guys. How many states are there in the United States?
50.
Oh, right now?
Oh, minus 10 points, Scott.
Right now, 52. There's one.
Well, are you counting Jamaica?
23.
No.
Kristaps.
What?
In there, what year?
There is one state, and it's the state of sadness.
I mean actual states, you know, the stuff that
that's
makes
good.
I actually think we're in the state of denial right now, so.
That's true. Yeah, which phase?
One state.
It's actually 46.
Okay.
Technically. So the other four don't reproduce?
No. The thing is, four of them are commonwealths, and they're not technically states. They also call themselves legally on the their designated title is commonwealth, like Commonwealth of Kentucky, Commonwealth of Massachusetts, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and Commonwealth of Virginia. And even though they have the very same rights as states, and even though they are effectively states, their official designation is a commonwealth. That is why, you know, they're not really states.
Kristaps, did you pick up a book past 1873?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I confirmed this today.
All right.
Okay, guys.
You're offending Flora here. David is from Kentucky, so watch what you're saying right now.
That's not a state.
No, it's a commonwealth. He's right.
Okay.
It's on the flag.
I only know a Napoleonic code, so it doesn't matter. You can't ask me about that type of stuff.
And this, okay, but we're getting too serious here. Okay, guys, you have to know this. So, turns out, Yoda had a first name. Can you throw me some Brick's actual first name in the script?
Don't mess with me on this one, okay?
Throw it to me. No, sadly, Lucas didn't come up with this. But if Lucas had more say in how Star Wars ended up, Yoda would have first name. He was
Mench.
Actually referred by the first name on the original.
It was Mench.
Original.
Mench. I know that one.
Yes, he was Mench.
It was either M-E-N or M-I-N, but it was one of them. I remember that. And also, Yoda doesn't have a species. He is Yoda's species, even though they made Yaddle, too, who was on the Jedi Council in the movies that didn't exist. And I'll just stop right now before I get too far into a Star Wars chat.
With yourself.
No, it's completely fine. Okay, which one of you is the ancient Greek expert here, mind you? Which one of you did the most ancient episodes? I guess Jordan, right? Jordan has done things.
Okay.
So this is
going to say Kristaps.
No.
he spent all night working on this one.
Well,
okay,
basically,
all right, lay it on.
This is a very simple one. What color did the Greeks think the sky was?
Green. Black. Well, it wasn't blue, because they didn't have a concept of blue.
Oh,
at least not.
Add 15 points to Jordan for this. Truly, there is no word for blue in ancient Greek. Homer's descriptions of color in the Iliad and Odyssey.
Blind green.
Homer sucked at describing things. There was a theory that he was actually colorblind because he described honey as green, And also, yeah, when honey was green. Faces had like they were green, like the face of fear and stuff like that in his writings. So a lot of people thought that Homer was colorblind. That's the most recent thing that I've read.
There's also theories that there was no Homer. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Homer was a profession, essentially. Basically, honey was green, like Ryan said. Sheep and the sea were. Oh, we have Forrest here. Hello, Forrest.
Greetings.
You
can
don't
you
know anything about how this works? Oh. That's excellent. Let's carry on. Anyway, the sea and the sheep were in the color of wine, but the sky was described as bronze.
Bronze.
Bronze. Yes, it was bronze. Homer's palette was also limited just to 5 colors: metallics, black, white, yellow, green, and just red.
It's kind of like an old Western, like a sepia. Like maybe he was colorblind.
So if there wasn't a color pertaining to a sword, it didn't exist.
I guess so. Now, a more simpler question. What color is the Guinness beer?
Brown. Dark.
It's like a chocolatey
wine,
brown.
Wine, dark, green.
I want to say...
There was a really good Radiolab podcast all about this.
Yeah, about Homer being colorblind. We talked about this just like literally right before you joined in.
I'm glad I'm always a day late and a digit short.
For anybody missing, Forrest Burgess from Astonishing Legends has now. There's 2 representations for Astonishing Legends here. Awesome.
They can lose points twice as fast.
Oh, that's how it works now.
too many. Oh, no, I thought one of the points might have been that people actually see colors differently way back when. And our idea of color has actually evolved some. Or was it just that Homer was colorblind? Blind. You're just totally blind.
See, the thing is, you have to give interesting answers, and that's a pretty good one. But I don't remember who said this, Alice will tell you, but according to the official site, Guinness is in a very dark shade of ruby. And Forrest, you're now hanging in for Scott. It's ruby.
Also the color of passing out.
Also the color of passing out.
Well, that's the thing. Maybe if you held it up to the light, or then it would depend on the color of the light you're holding it up to. I can see where they would get a ruby color, but when it's in the glass and I'm about to drink it, it's pretty much looks like soy sauce to me. So
okay, guys.
Hey, where's Scott?
Forrest replaced him for now.
Tag team. Okay, that works.
He does that, yeah.
Anyway, United Nations General Assembly, by the way, and these questions are all over the place. United Nations General Assembly declares each year to be a year of, you know, something. And it sometimes gets very crazy and weird. So, for example, year 2006 was the year of potato. I was very happy during that year. Year 2016, this one they were living in, you know, what could be...
The year of why, God, why?
Year of the toilet.
Year of fantasy.
Jordan?
No, did I get it?
Nope. It's a food stuff.
Oh, okay. It's the year of Rocky Mountain oysters.
Sad, but no. It is the International Year of Pulses. I don't know how you pronounce it. Basically dried legumes.
Is that a food?
Basically dried, like, you know, the seeds of beans, chickpeas, lentils, and the like. Those things.
I ain't never seen that at World Market.
Yeah, is that GMO?
I don't know, but United General Assembly decided that, yeah, 2016, we were eating beans all along. Now, can you name something that has been smuggled into space?
Oh.
Tomato seeds?
Pencils?
Oh, pencils would cause lots of trouble.
Golf ball.
Tequila.
Tequila would also be nice, but the person actually got into real trouble for this, and then regulations were kind of produced. It was in 1965.
Wait, they had regulations in 1965 for space? I thought they were not to that point yet.
Or space smuggling in 1965.
65.
Right. Are we talking about Han Solo? Han Solo. We're definitely talking about Han Solo, right?
Nope.
Now, did you say Russia or the U.S.?
U.S.
The U.S., okay.
Right. Golf balls to the moon.
I don't know what rating this podcast is for, but I'm going to guess condoms at one point.
Don't go there.
Oh, no, condoms. Oh, watch your mouth, Ryan.
I don't want people to paint pictures in their head.
What? It's a corned beef sandwich.
Close enough.
Astronaut John Young was reprimanded by NASA for smuggling that in. And only after this, NASA drew up regulations to, quote, prevent unsanctioned food making it into space again.
Well, that's interesting because the only thing I can think of is it's hydrated as opposed to all the dehydrated food they have to eat. So I don't know why corned beef would be such a no-no to smuggle up there. Was it on rye bread?
I don't know. It just says cream corned beef sandwich. Also, you know, but talking about cool, interesting things, and this is a small, tiny bit of a thing. Can you guys figure out and maybe talk about the coolest stuff ever on planet? That is, there's a thing called the Condor Cluster that can be found in Rome. Do you have any ideas? But it's no Googling. It's Condor. It's called the Condor Cluster, and it's found in Rome. What does it do? Yes, it's a city, yeah.
I have no idea.
So in Louisiana, we have something called Roman candy that they sell at like the zoo and other places where it's taffy. I don't get why they call it anything else, but it's taffy. So I'm thinking it's like a popcorn cluster fused together with taffy.
It's, by the way, it belongs to the Air Force, United States Air Force.
All right, well, there goes that.
It's a bunch of old men sitting around in a bathhouse.
Condor, it makes sense.
Called the Condors.
I heard now it's cooler than that.
It involves gaming consoles.
Oh, are they Commodore 64s just put together to make a computer processing power of modern day?
You're actually quite close, Ryan. You see, the fact is, Condor Cluster is the 33rd largest supercomputer in the world right now, and it's a trick. It's Rome, New York, not Rome, Italy.
But it is all Commodore 64s.
No, it's 1,760 Sony PlayStation 3s wired up together to form a military supercomputer.
Okay.
It's called the Condor Cluster, and it's capable of performing 500 trillion floating point operations per second.
And playing one
the fastest
hell of
interactive
a
demo. Computer in the entire U.S. Defense Department.
But can it run Crisis on Ultra?
The thing is, when PlayStation consoles, when they started building this project, PlayStation consoles, these consoles cost about $400 each. At the same time, comparable technology would have cost about $10,000 per unit. So these PS3s cost about $2 million in there. So they basically saved up about 90% of the cost of all of this from an equivalent system built with off-the-shelf computer parts. And it also consumes just 10% of compatible supercomputers and energy.
Oh, it's the only time consoles have served a purpose.
But yeah, you Americans, you sometimes show great efficiency and innovative decisions for like these solutions.
Well,
but
don't
you know
me
how,
in that group.
How really efficient? Oh, yeah, Canada is actually much better at this. By the way, Canada, oh, Canadians really? Have much one world. Canadians
we put together
have one
a whole bunch
world
of blackberries. We tethered a bunch of blackberries together.
So talking about
blackberries
this.
Are super superior to iPhones and Galaxies. I got to say, because they have buttons. The buttons, they're better.
That's
they're
not
just
fair.
Better.
Canada doesn't need the business. Cooling capabilities that we need down here. They just leave their stuff outside and it runs fine. So.
Oh, but Jordan, this is especially for you, because I'm poking at Americans, and I'll be continuing on that, because, you know, it's really easy to poke at Americans. But what has been banned in Vancouver since 2014, which is, I don't know, probably the only place on the planet Earth that I know that this thing is banned?
Americans?
No. They banned something in Vancouver in 2014, and I got really confused about this.
What would they ban in Vancouver? Foreign money?
Clothes, but no cooking. Anyone else have ideas?
Cigarettes.
Hypodermic needles.
Doorknobs.
Is it a food item?
Doorknobs.
Doorknobs.
But that's your real answer? Doorknobs?
That's a real answer, doorknobs. Because they banned these doorknob things because you must have to always use the no new doorknobs may be installed. All new doors must have these lever things because for the elderly people, it's hard to grab a doorknob and open it.
Okay.
Canadians are nice, you see.
They are.
Too considerate.
Just not to business. Just not to people that want to renovate their houses.
But talking about efficiency, how many bullets per insurgent did the United States spend in Afghanistan?
Oh, I'm not answering
that's
this
dark.
One.
This got dark.
We are not going
to compare that to the Russians.
Wait, come back.
Per terrorist or insurgent killed did the United States spend in Afghanistan and Iraq and the Middle East, essentially?
Do they have to be insurgent?
1 million.
Zero. We gave them free. Woo!
Wait,
this is like Price is Right. The thing is, $1 or 5,000.
See, the number is so large that your local manufacturers can't even like compete in the market. They run out of bullets.
I said
American Army.
Where am I at?
250,000
per insurgent.
It was only.
Yep.
Wow. What?
Because you had to buy tons of extra bullets from Israel because you ran out, and none of your military could do this.
As they famously said in every war movie ever, they're not paying us to bring them home.
Yeah. Can we just move back to swords? I feel like you really have to think about what you're going to do with those.
Talking about swords and hunting and all these guys.
Wow, stream of consciousness here.
We're getting all over the place. You know, I would like who's the biology expert from all of you guys?
Flora.
Brian.
No.
The what expert?
The name like Flora.
Someone who knows something about biology.
Flora.
Oh, biology. Okay.
Okay, so where do you think humans stand in the food chain? I mean, there are dark lords are obviously higher up, but you know, where exactly, you know, on a scale from 1 to 5, where would you put us with 5 being like there.
Below sharks. Where everything else is.
Is a shark a 1?
No. One would be someone who just eats only plants.
Well, technically it would be sharks then Chinese people because they're the ones that have been extincting them. So as far as I know, we're apex predators.
Oh, Ryan loses 10 points.
All right. I should just quit my podcast.
See, the thing is, a lot of people thought we might be this, but I don't know.
Well, what about viruses or you know, bacteria? Oh, surely we're below those if you want to get really.
Okay,
know,
I'll give you a score. We score at the, according to this group of French researchers, and this is an article from Smithsonian.
Throw out that
study.
These guys
decided to use food supply data from that.
Whoa!
These guys use data from the food supply data from the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization, and they calculated the human tropic level. I don't know what human tropic level is, but they calculated this level essentially. Oh, so on a scale from 1 to 5, with 1 being the score of a primary producer, which is a plant, and 5 being a pure apex predator, which is an animal that only eats meat and has few or no predators on its own, like a tiger or crocodile. They found that based on diet, pure diet, humans score a measly 2.21. Can you probably imagine on what level that puts us in? We score 2.21. We are about equal to an anchovy or a pig.
Okay.
We eat anchovies too. Take that, anchovies. Well, which one of you has ever been speaking about plague on their shows?
The dancing plague.
Did any of us
Jordan
do Spanish
has
flu?
Yeah. Over and over.
Because I've listened to the episode of Twilight Histories about that.
Woo! Okay, alright.
Oh,
right.
Just plug it right in there. Go ahead, Jordan. This is you.
Yep. So, how many cases of plague, mostly bubonic, are there in the United States each year? Right now.
I don't know. 500.
Oh, a bit less.
I think it's I think it's pretty low. I would say 10 or less.
I'm gonna go a hard 4.
It's actually the median is 7, but it's in the range between 1 and 17.
All right, so Price is Right rules.
Now worldwide, however, how do you think? What's the difference between you guys and worldwide?
I'm gonna stick with 500.
I'm going to stick with 7.
In worldwide, it's about 3,000.
Oh. 3,000. Hey, Price is Right rules.
I don't know Price is Right rules.
If you don't go over, you win.
And I was close.
Also, and this is a very interesting study about, you know, random cases and all these weird things that happen with people. After all, we are Dark Lords and speak about dark themes. How do you think? What percentage of the world's population has never seen snow in their lives? That excludes all Canadians ever.
Well, where I live, doesn't happen much.
You're talking about percentage-wise?
Approximate percentage.
Like, I would say...
Just according to the United Nations, again.
2 billion.
I would say about 60% of the world's population doesn't see snow.
Is this, are you counting?
Jordan, you get like 5 points.
Was it 2 billion?
It's correct. About 60% of world population have never seen snow.
Oh, no, I was.
No, there you go. That's me. That was Forrest. Yeah, I get the points. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a totally random wild guess.
Oh, dear God. Jordan and Forrest at the same show. My head will explode from the.
We both have lush beards.
Give Jordan 60 anyway.
Jordan wants 60.
You're thinking of Scott. Chris, with the beard.
Chris Tops.
What?
Were you also counting the people who have seen Ernest Saves Christmas?
I don't know what that is even.
It's a great show.
That'll lower that percentage, I bet.
I know that guy. Met him in person.
Wait, is he alive?
He's dead now. Oh, Jim Varney. Okay. Jim Varney. No, he died. Cancer, I think. He should be alive. It's not legit. He should be alive.
Lots of people should.
I'm just bringing it down. Bringing it down.
We're just left with Tyler Perry Christmas movies now.
Yeah, and by the way, on Astonishing Legends, the person with the beard is Scott, which is me. The person with the sexy voice is Forrest, which is Forrest.
Oh, thank you.
So,
quaint.
And then, okay, but now I'll move to Forrest's favorite theme, which is in German.
I know a few.
Which is what?
So, in year 1822... a stork brought something to the little village of Klutz, which changed our understanding of a certain, shall we say, biological event instantaneously and miraculously. It carried something to the small village of Klutz, which changed a lot of biology forever.
It was a murder mystery, which was deliciously ironic for the town of Klutz.
Laura is closer than you might think. 3 points.
Baby Hitler.
No, it's year 1822.
I know, but come on, I just had to throw it in there. Time traveling, wow. Baby Hitler.
You're gonna delete this whole thing, right, Kristaps? Gonna delete it.
Oh no, it's me that controls now. Who says about Baby Hitler.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah.
Maybe Hitler gets bleeped out so that everyone can figure
Jordan
out
just, what... like, spoiled a little bit of his next Twilight History story, so...
Okay, so I will give you a little small hint. It was a weapon.
A rail gun.
Oh.
Yeah, the rail gun.
Was it the rail aircraft, the bell? No, that's too early.
No, that would be America.
What year was it, Chris?
1822, and no Googling.
Gatling gun.
The Maxim?
No. See, just so dangling. Far, this event even has received an event that's called Pfeilstorch.
That was a Latvian interpretation of a German term. That's going to be hard.
Okay, I'll tell you. Previously, we did not know that the storks or other birds migrate. After this, we knew that they migrate in winter.
Coconuts?
Well,
it's cooler than that.
Cooler. So they migrate. Yeah.
Also, think about it, the themes of our show and whatever, you know, we do. It's dark. Mm.
Dark coconuts?
Plague. No, no, no.
Monarch butterflies?
God. Weapons. It was a weapon.
It was okay? A weapon. Then an arrowhead or an arrow or bow of some kind. I'm gonna guess it's something that's not,
arrow
that is,
in its neck.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Well, there you go.
Bitch.
The thing is, the stork just arrived, and it had an arrow through its neck, and nobody knew, and they just figured out in 1822 technology that it must have come from Africa. So then they started thinking about all of this. Do you know some previous theory?
That's the birth of eugenics.
Yeah, pretty much. Jesus. Okay.
Jordan, 7 points for evil. In 2001, Australian John Keogh won an Ig Nobel Prize for his invention. He won it jointly with the Australian Patent Office for granting him the innovation patent. 2000.
Beer.
No. It was just a long number. 200-110-0012. That's his patent. He took his patent and his name, and he got an Ig Nobel Prize for it in 2001. Now I wish you imagine the most silliest thing what you could patent. What was his invention? So
what's the guy's name again? John
Keogh, but you don't. Come on, don't Google.
I'm not.
I don't want to Google, but
what were the
I'm
numbers?
I'm also missing like every third syllable here.
So you said 110. You said some other numbers. Are those significant?
That's his patent number. It's a real patent.
Oh, the patent number. The patent number.
It was in 2001, and John Keogh won an Ig Nobel Prize, not an Ig Nobel Prize. Yeah.
I'm going to say it's a simple tool like a hammer or a shovel or something.
The outhouse.
The bog roll.
It's better. It's the invention actually presents a famous answer to an age-old question, you see.
Where do we poop?
Chicken or the egg, then.
Oh, on that level, yeah. But come on.
Yeah.
It's an Australian. If I was you, I'd guess he'd invent, I don't know, machetes that unfold to have more machetes.
Oh, the boomerang.
No.
No?
It's even more stupid than that.
Crocs.
They do have crocodiles.
I just want to know how low can you go?
Australians?
Not the condom.
Outhouse.
I think we already did outhouse.
Habeas.
The wheel.
What?
Oh.
The wheel.
Well,
the
I was
wheel.
Close.
Wait, in 2001?
That's ignoble.
See, the thing is that he was a lawyer, turns out. And he was really angry about the fact how the Australian government had changed patent applications. And he used to be a patent lawyer. So if previously patent needed to be drawn by a lawyer and you had to have some engineering knowledge, then this guy basically decided that all this new patent system just is terrible and that they would issue a patent for everything. And, you know, he just did this as a joke. The thing is, they really rubber stamped him. So if someone asks you who invented the wheel, which is the age-old question, just respond to John Keogh.
That is kind
that's
of...
interesting.
That's just like Gene Simmons patenting... he put a trademark, I think, on the dollar sign with two slashes through it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's why you don't see that anymore, because you can charge people for it. I should
wait,
cover
he
that.
Actually won that
wait,
patent?
Wait.
He was successful with
it? I'm not sure if it's a copyright or a trade. I'm pretty sure it's a trademark, but he has a legal binding to the dollar sign with two slashes through it, and that's why you do not see that even on a keyboard anymore.
Well, damn, that's the one I
really?
Like.
Yeah. I should probably cover that in the show, because I heard that, and I have not corroborated that whatsoever.
Yeah, that
Ryan,
was a
you get,
flies topic.
Ryan, you get points for this. This is amazing.
All right, I'm going to go ahead and Google it right now. Shut up. I know I'm not supposed to, but whatever.
Well, it's just a good thing that no one's patented the podcast.
Until tomorrow.
No, there was a guy, right? You're making a joke, right? Because you know there was a patent troll. Yeah,
oh, yeah,
that's what you're doing. Yeah. Okay,
although
sorry.
He claims he's not a patent troll.
Okay.
No, I know.
All right. So
he's
it's a,
to
by
screw
the way,
it all.
Sounds exactly what like a patent troll would say.
By the way, another interesting question. The word podcast, what does it kind of stand for, and why is it a podcast? Anyone of you have any ideas?
So there was a movie in the 80s called Pod People. It was a Spanish film that MST3K covered, and it had a guy named Trumpy on it. And he was able to
MST3K.
Yeah, I just love Pod People. It was great.
I would guess it has something to do with the iPod, the first kind of delivery device. So they just went.
Which year did the term podcast appear? But it was in the newspaper, mind you.
Maybe 2003 or
no,
that late.
No, it's going to be earlier. I would say 2001, something like
1999.
It was actually 2004, and the first time podcast appeared, it was on the newspaper The Guardian.
Really?
So who was the first podcast?
The idea was that, you know, we spoke
Dan Carlin.
We earlier spoke about the fact that this year was the year of like the pulses, right? The beans. So the idea of a podcast definition is that, you know, you had this specific way of presenting it. It's like a grouping. You cast your shows in a pod from which people can take it.
Like whales.
I'm not.
Because it's a whale of a good size.
Does that then also mean that, like, the iPod, is that where they got that? Because it would be something like that, where you have a small device, it delivers a lot of material over that of like a tape player that people had. So that's, you know, everything was before it, but I believe that's an Apple, that's Steve Jobs doing that. But the idea of the pod is that it's like a seed, it's giving forth, you know, information, I guess.
By the way, podcast. I have to ask you one question that is specifically with love from Mother Russia, of course, you know, just so you won't forget. How many Rolls Royces did Lennon own?
I would guess 42.
Whoa. Wait, who?
Lennon.
Who?
Wait, which Lennon?
A communist?
John Lennon?
John Lennon, yeah. John,
no.
John Lennon,
No, not John, the very Vladimir Ilyich.
John Lennon rode
bikes.
Because I
know of one that John had. John Lennon had the one with the multicolored paint job, which Michael Jackson later bought. Yeah,
he also bought Joseph Merrick's skeleton. So Michael Jackson bought everything.
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
a chimp, small children, just.
And by the way, Ryan loses some points for asking who. Yeah, not on my show.
Well, you tricked us before with Rome.
The other Lennon, I'm gonna go with 42.
See, Vladimir Ilyich Lenin. Apparently had, okay, one last guess. He had more than Mussolini. He had 9, including apparently the world's only half-track Rolls-Royce adapted with skis at the front for snow driving.
So I don't know about that. I just know that we have a store called Linen and Things over where I live. And
no, it's different.
I have not seen a single Rolls-Royce in the parking lot yet. So
Linen and Things.
It's just one of those. We don't have any Rolls Royces here. I don't even think I've seen a Rolls Royce in my life. But a real quick update. I was wrong. It was Gene Simmons that he trademarked the money bag with the dollar sign on it.
Much different.
Guy's gonna have a cow over that one.
Right, I know.
That's also an Apple emoji. So they're breaking a hunk off for him for that, aren't they?
Yeah, probably. As long as it's only like one slash through it. But sorry, I don't know how many cars Lennon had.
He had 9 Rolls Royces, of which one was made specifically for him. Huh. Now, I mean, wait a minute. Everyone has read the Harry Potter here, right?
Have you seen the movie?
Huh? Great. I got bored. Anyway, yeah. Have you actually, you know, you are informed about Harry Potter, right? So, people in France always ruin everything, including Harry Potter. So, in the French Harry Potter version, what's Voldemort's middle name?
Baguette.
Pierre.
Baguette. Pierre. Oh, my God.
It's Lavender. A very American name. It's a very American name, by the way.
Sam.
Gravy.
Fred.
What? Donald.
Donald, yep. That's my guess.
It's Elvis.
Elvis?
Yep.
Really?
And talking about Harry Potter, well, which is... what?
What's his name? Oh, crap. Dumbledore's first name is Albus, and I guess it'll be appropriate that his nemesis' middle name would be Elvis, I guess. That's how you work it out. That's the only circular reasoning I can use.
That's right,
Albus and Elvis.
Albus v. Elvis.
How are they allowed to do that in France? That's copyrighted material. You're talking about the French translations, right?
Yep.
How do you even say Elvis in French? I feel like that's a very hard word to say with a French accent.
Elvis.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, France is not the only country that ruins everything. Let's turn back to our favorite America.
Well, as they say, no, the France copies no one, and no one copies the French. So.
Okay, so there is a very American symbol that's like everywhere that apparently, according to, again, our favorite United Nations statistics data and other sources, the people in the world, like more people in the world, recognize this symbol than they recognize the Christian cross.
Boom.
You have any
Coca-Cola.
Idea? Nope. I'm but you're close. You're close.
McDonald's M.
Forrest, you're saving. You're saving them for old things. Yep.
That's it.
Yeah. Seriously.
Good job, Forrest.
I still think Forrest, right?
Okay.
I've seen a lot of people on the floor on their knees for the McDonald's. So.
What? Okay. Fine.
Like it was a church.
That's another story.
I went to a McDonald's in Freiburg. That actually came up on one of our podcasts, and I know the rule there in Germany is that they had a model. They couldn't mess with the M because that's the major symbol, but the rest of the storefront had to match like the other 15th century buildings around it. So that was specifically a German rule that they could make McDonald's adhere to if they wanted to be in that in Germany, in that next to a historic building.
There's a rule in New Orleans for that, well, too. There's actually a black McDonald's arch on St. Charles Avenue in like the historic part of New Orleans. But that's why you go to Burger King, because you can have it your way.
whatever you want.
Well, I mean, you have to have a McDonald's in Freiburg, right?
They're pretty much everywhere. I actually went in there, and the major, you know, everybody has a story about what McDonald's they went to at the Great Wall of China and what was different about it. The one in Germany, they served beer, and you could smoke in there. So every table had an ashtray, which was
See, that's odd. What I look for in a nice fast food restaurant.
look, the other stuff's going to kill you anyway. You might as well be smoking and drinking, so... but it was kind of a neat novelty. Also, they had, instead of the Big Mac, they had the McTimber burger. So
now that's Canadian.
Yeah, I know. It didn't make any sense. I know. And if you ask Germans, they're like, well, what's that referencing? Like, well, we don't know.
We don't have any trees.
they claim to have the first Christmas tree, though, in the square. Yeah. And getting back to Christoph's earlier mention, apparently, as the legend goes, the first decoration was golden potatoes. On a tree.
Ooh. Nothing there more glorious than that.
That's so 1984.
What brings closer Cleopatra and the moon landings? This one is, by the way, in Flora's garden, because it's kind of a pun.
My mind's a blank.
What brings closer?
Yeah.
Is this a riddle?
Yeah. No. It's actually really stupid.
Chris Dabbs, I hate to say Lost in Translation at this point, but
is it Cleopatra?
Asp,
is it
rolled up carpet?
Yeah, he said ass.
Both
with a P.
Yeah.
All right. How about this? Both didn't happen. I'll just go with that one right now. Stanley Kubrick made a movie about both of them.
First number someone says is the number of the amount of points Ryan loses for this.
Okay, repeat the question again, please.
Oh boy, you're going in the wrong direction, but I love this one. It's just that the Cleopatra actually lived closer to moon landing than she lived to the building of pyramids.
Oh yeah, I do remember that. I still get my mind boggled by that whole little fact about Egyptians and how long they actually lasted. I mean, they are still alive today. There are Egyptian people. So, it's crazy.
Rip Egyptians.
Dude, mammoths were still a thing alive and running around in Siberia when they built the pyramids.
Well, you know, however, that's a big point of contention now. If you really get into Egypt, you know, fringe Egyptology and what, how old things actually are, because I think with the Sphinx, at least they, the general rules, I think between 4,000 and 5,000 BC. But the, if you dig down below the sand, the base, now this is not my, you know, personal theory, although I think there might be something to it, towards the base of the Sphinx, the sandstone shows water erosion, and that area did not have significant rainfall, you know, prior to, or that area took place about 10,000 BC. So there's this big debate about how old the pyramids and the Sphinx actually are. More so with the Sphinx,
So there were a lot of mammoths around.
Does anybody have Zahi Hawass's Skype name? We can call him up and ask him about it.
Wait, is that the guy with the hat?
I would be asking him.
Is that the guy with the hat?
He is the Egyptologist. He's the only one you possibly could have ever heard of.
Yeah, that won't let you look under the paw of the Sphinx.
No, he's the...
He's anti-paw.
That's the thing. All the archaeologists, I don't think, are very happy with that guy, because, I mean, he's very entertaining. I used to... He's been on several specials that would appear on Fox that, way back when I had a VHS player and would tape them. And so, you know, he's much a character, but he's also very, I think he's, you know, considered kind of a mouthpiece of the government, and he won't let a lot of things be kind of explored further, like the possible secret chamber under the paw of the Sphinx.
Well, as far as I know, he actually isn't that much into the scene anymore. I think he was ousted after Egypt Coup 2K14.
Yeah, he got in trouble.
Yeah, Egypt Coup 2K14.
Yeah, he was retired.
So,
who's there now?
Some guy that has not talked to History Channel yet.
It's a bunch of Bedouins. Forrest is in charge of it.
It's an Amazon Echo. I think that's just running, if you can ask questions. I don't think that there's any... He was kind of, you know, back when Egypt was a little more stable, I think he was a good, you know, kind of a spokesman. And again, because he's kind of a character, he's very knowledgeable. He knows his stuff. He's just not, and I don't know if it was totally him. It might have been the Egyptian government, but it was all like, well, we're not going to get any help. We're going to do this ourselves, and it'll take an extra 25 years.
Well, Forrest, good that you mentioned really smart people, because, you know, we are all idiots, according to Greeks, and why is it? Yeah. Why would Greeks call all of us idiots?
Because of our language. It's...
No, I know what he's asking.
No, it's not about...
Idiom, idiot? Is there any kind of
It has to be with what the word idiot meant for them.
We all have ideologies, that's why.
No, it's basically idiot was everyone who wasn't a politician. There were politicians and idiots. And it just meant someone who's not into politics.
How that term has changed a little
bit. I'm the biggest
and now,
idiot.
Yeah, now it's flipped.
Somebody had to take that low-hanging fruit and just pick it.
Sorry.
Well, talking about low-hanging fruits, let's talk about your imperial system, which is like I always say, you poor people are stuck using primitive pagan measurements anyway. Then again, you're not... your method is just, I don't know, a little bit better, more convenient than what the Sami people of Finland are using. They have a measurement of length called poron kusema.
One reindeer.
Oh, good or an answer.
It is reindeer connected. Yeah, Jordan, get the point.
The distance between antlers or an antler length?
One Santa.
Awesome.
Just nose to tail?
It makes almost more... It makes more sense than a yard or a mile in my eyes.
The time spent in depression.
time spent looking at pictures of Rudolph the reindeer and being sad about it.
Nose to back hoof of a reindeer.
No. It involves penis.
Oh, okay. That clears things up a good bit. Let me think about this one.
What's with all the reindeer penises?
Hey, that's...
There's two episodes open.
You go with what you got up there.
Good night.
That was great.
Or it's at the pet store. Here in America, there's all kinds. You can get dried bull penises.
Actually,
as,
dog
points. Like
when I will tell you this measurement, you will start using it yourself in Friday evenings, like late Fridays, something like that.
I really hope there's a follow-up question after this, and I do not want to end this on a reindeer penis question.
course. See, the thing is, boron quasem stands for it's a measurement of length, which is the distance a reindeer can walk before needing to urinate.
What? Wow. Gee, is that consistent?
Poron kusema.
Wow.
And why would that be important?
Because they are nomadic people. They live in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, well, how about eating?
Yeah, that's what you got.
You know, how long can a reindeer go before it needs to eat again or drink again?
How long can it go without eating before it dies? That's a good measure of time right there. All right.
They just had a sense of humor.
Well, it must be pretty consistent. So you're measuring yellow spot to yellow spot, I guess.
There's something left in the snow.
Well, here's a question. Here's a question for Kristaps before I forget. If you're talking about silly units of measurement, isn't there one that was Tsarist Russia was going by called Ashkans or something? Or it's they had their own, it wasn't the metric system yet. It was something that I don't know if the Tsars implemented it, but it started with an A. All I know is I've seen a Russian Mosin Nagant rifle that has a distance sighting on it, and it's not in meters. It's in that weird pre-World War One or pre-revolutionary unit of measure.
I'm trying to figure out what you're talking about, but honestly, I have no idea. We had a lot of these things, but it's crazy.
All right, I'm gonna look this up.
Okay. If anyone you could understand me, like I mean we're talking about weird things, right? So an interesting, nice question. Let's be polite and nice here, and you know,
did you just I'm out. Dodge a question?
No, I did not dodge a question. I'm trying to do a segue.
Ah.
And the segue music.
Where segue music needs to be put in there.
There's your music.
That's going on my soundboard.
Nice.
And okay, so this is going to be kind of interesting. Give me the name of the first, name of the thing that got first silicone breast implant.
Oh boy. The
thing.
The name of the first thing that got a breast silicone implant.
Pamela Anderson.
Carol Bob Doda.
Marilyn Monroe.
Isn't she? I think she was a dancer in San Francisco.
Ah, that's the first person. I said the first thing. It was a dog, actually.
Then the inventor's dog that he took home on the weekends for fun.
By the way, kind of close.
You get eight of them, and they're kind of hairy, but they're thin.
The dog was called Esmeralda, mind you.
That would have to be like a septuple implant, by the way.
Right. Well, the male dogs wouldn't have to drool by, ringing a bell.
Tiny implant.
Can we just go back to
Hold
reindeer
closer,
penises?
Closer, tiny implant.
It'd be better.
Okay.
Was it also snuck into space?
Talking about snucking things in. And when it became illegal to send children by mail, by parcel post, in America?
It's like 3 years ago.
It's still legal. Trick question.
It shall be legal again. No, it happened a bit more than 100 years ago. It was up to 1913, it was legal to send kids in America to parcel post.
I only missed it by 100 years.
All right, Kristaps, let's move on to like the last question. This one is like winner takes all. Let's go with
hold
it.
Hold on. Wait a second.
Okay.
Forrest
unit
is
of
back.
Russian.
I shall have one
Russian unit of measure. An arshin.
Arshin. Oh yeah. Okay. I guess.
Well, now you know what I'm talking about. Jeez.
You can't pronounce Russian. Not on your own.
Arshin. How's that? Close. It was set up by Peter the Great. There you go.
I think it was Piotr.
Piotr. And here comes the jackpot question, the best one that I've saved up for all of you people. So, yes. how many of you have like pets at home?
Pets?
Depends on what you qualify as a pet.
Not children. I mean, it's dangerous for in America to have kids anyway. I mean, you and Somalia are the only countries who haven't ratified the UN Convention on the Rights of the Kids, but, you know. Pets. I mean,
sore
dogs,
subject,
dogs,
man.
Dogs, cats, yeah,
can I count
all that
stuff. Backdoor
slam. Sorry.
Anyway, sometimes people like to get weird pets, like Mike Tyson has a tiger and Ryan has Greg. Forrest has Scott, you know. Sometimes these pets get controlled and banned. But yeah. Which kind of pets did Vietnam ban in 2008? Mind you,
tigers.
The fine for owning this pet is $900, which is about twice the annual salary of an average Vietnamese person. So
tigers. Dennis Rodman.
Rat.
No, but Scott lost points now. It's not tigers.
Oh. Rats.
Hmm.
No, but it's you're somewhat on the right spot.
Children.
Earthworms.
The authorities banned them because they apparently are a potential source of disease and are not native to this place.
Children.
Dennis Rodman.
It's extremely exotic pet for these Vietnamese people. They are all imported in the country from China mostly.
If it's from China, then I would say turtles.
Chinese children. No.
Yep. General So's chicken.
Oh, he just passed away. That guy who invented.
He did. Like this last week.
R.I.P.
I give you 3 points for that.
The guy from the documentary.
I mean, you know interesting facts. Okay, I'll give you one go. Well, you have one go on this. Which pets would Vietnam ban? Let's start with Jordan.
I said a whole bunch, but my final answer is going to be the panda bear.
Oh,
what?
Like, tiny little panda bear. Yeah.
I arbitrarily give you 12 points for being fun, for being cute.
Okay.
Scott, your turn.
No, I don't. I have no idea. Abstain.
Aww. All right, I'll jump in for Scott here. I would guess it's a. It's a really invasive species, like something like the snakehead fish or...
It is really invasive. It's terrible.
Yeah.
Kudzu.
No, that's a pet. No, that is not a pet.
Kudzu, it's not a pet.
They now have a subculture. They illegally smuggle them, and then they have them, and they have clubs of these pet owners. And it's
parrot.
Massively popular in teenagers.
I'm surprised Scott didn't say tribbles, but...
What's a tribble?
What's a tribble?
That's for another day.
Good call. Good call.
Okay.
That, but no, I would say, is it okay? How about a clue? Is it a fairly common pet? That
yes.
Yeah. Jeez, and I would say
dog.
No. They eat more than 4 million dogs in Asia each year. You know.
A duck.
No.
Gerbil.
What's a gerbil?
A snake. A snake.
Oh, I did ask Richard Gere.
A really big duck.
I would say a rabbit.
Your guys are close. Floor, what do you say?
He said,
"Oh God."
You're the biology guy.
No, they haven't banned God yet.
You know what?
Really, I thought they were calling him.
I'm really gonna stick to my guns here on Dennis Rodman.
No,
actually,
something Dennis Rodman would
eat. I will give 4 points to David because he's completely correct. It is hamster.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wait.
They get out of control?
Wait,
who
said
Richard
Gere? I was super
who said
close.
Richard Gere? Yeah,
I don't know what gerbil is.
No, I did. I did. Scott said Richard Gere, and I said gerbil. I said all that stuff. Nobody gave me anything.
If it's hamster.
See,
actually, tribble is right.
The points here are given by Alice. So, Alice, can you come here and maybe
I can't
read the
hear
points
Alice.
Aloud?
I don't believe that Alice is here.
Is she actually keeping track?
Alice is keeping track. Alice, just write down the points to people and come and listen. You have to voice the points.
All right. So, the points have been accumulated, and accordingly, drum roll, please. In fifth place, with 76 points, Scott Philbrook.
Whoa!
Wow. Impressed.
Wait, I'm in the last place or first place?
Fifth.
How are you in fifth? There's only four people participating.
I feel good.
I think that's good for Scott.
I'm okay with that.
I'm surprised he ranked at all, yeah.
In fourth place, with 112 points. Jordan.
Woo-hoo. Yay.
Fourth place.
Third place with 131 points. Ryan.
You.
Yay.
Woo.
I'll take mediocrity.
In second place. In second place with 139 points. Forrest.
Oh.
Yay.
Come from behind.
Which means that the winner tonight with 140 with 144 points, Blurry Photos.
Hey,
David Flora.
I think we all know the real winner here is Dennis Rodman.
That's true.
And with this, we will finish the show.
I just want to say much credit to you for trying to come up with all the questions and organizing it and getting it all together. It's a lot of effort, and it's much appreciated.
Thank you, Kristaps.
Thanks
Aww.
A lot.
I made Alice angry because of this, so it's cool.
Oh dear.
It means she cares.
Well, that's very nice.
On that note, we can leave this. Thank you all for being here. I love you guys.
Thank you. Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.